But God is good. I want to remind us of something and give an invitation to something that I believe God has been speaking to me about. And being out here at two prayer meetings a couple of weeks ago, the Lord was saying the same thing through different people. So it's good to always capture what God is saying and then expressing it it's the word of God is prophetic by nature. Prophetic means calling the future to now or else creating a future for us. There's two ways. There's foretelling as prophecy and foretelling as prophecy. One of them is telling the future. This is what God wants for us. But the other one, foretelling, is saying that this is what God wants to manifest here and now. It's like dragging the future to the now. And so I pray that I'm able to communicate it properly and that God would have his way amongst us. So, you know, we have this thing called the iCloud, yeah? You know, like where we upload our photos and they actually reckon that there's so many memories and photographs that would have been kept alive with just ordinary photographs that are now being lost through iPhone and iPads and different types of things. Because who's ever let their phone fall and he says, no, I'm going to back her up, I'm going to save all my pictures and documents, and you've never done it. Me, 3 times. So all them photographs I've ever had on there is gone. And but the iCloud is great for storing information. It's great for storing pictures and memories and for other generations to even look at and have revelation of, and also documents. But before there was the iCloud, I want to remind us this morning that there was the I Am cloud. And you find in the book of Exodus, in the Bible, that Moses met God in a burning bush. But from then on, communicated with God from a cloud. Or God communicated to him from not the I cloud, but the I Am clouds. And you remember the story, Moses is on the run from Egypt. He was after murdering somebody and burying them. God uses great people, doesn't he? Moses murders someone and buries them somewhere, goes on the run, and he's there 40 years on the run. He left when he was 40, and he was 40 years on the run. And at 80 years of age, he meets God in a burning bush. And from that moment on, God had a tremendous relationship with Moses in the cloud. And the cloud represents his presence. The cloud represents his glory. The cloud represents God meeting people. God having, it says of Moses that God talked to Moses like a man would to a friend. Wow. And I believe there's an invitation by God to call the church into the place of the cloud, into the place of intimacy with him, into the place of knowing his ways. See, everybody can know God's works. You walk out, look over at the beach, look at the mountains, you can see God's works. But Moses didn't only know God's works, he knew God's ways. Because he got to know God and spoke to God as a man would his friend. And God, that's the way God would call Moses. He said to Moses, I'll show you some scriptures now. He says, Moses, come up here. And he would leave the people and go up to the mountaintop. And the people, listen to what it says in Exodus 16. It says this, while Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. So they're looking up at this cloud and they could see the glory and majesty of God. And then it talks the way Moses used to communicate with God. It says, then Moses entered the cloud as he went up on the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. That he would go to the mountain. They would see the cloud, but he would enter the clouds. And we have, like, because Jesus died on the cross and his blood was spilled, we have access to the Holy of Holies. We have access to the cloud. Morning, noon, and night, 24/7, we have access. And we always get a choice as the people of God. We can either stand and look at the cloud, or we can enter the cloud. We can stand with the crowd, or we can enter the cloud. And sometimes, this is what happened with Moses. Moses left the crowd so that he could go to the cloud. He left the people, he left all the voices, all of the things that people would, Moses, why don't we go this way in the desert? Moses, why don't we do this? Moses, how are we going to do this? And he say, look, see you later, crowd. I need to go to the cloud. I need to go and speak with God. I need to go and find out what God is saying. And one time God says to him, Moses, come up here. And that's the invitation. Come up here. Like the Bible says this, if we draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. The invitation is, will I take the step and say, Lord, I want to draw near to you in these days. I want to be someone that is close to you. I need to hear you, Lord. I hear the crowd. I hear everyone else speaking. But who I need to hear is my Father in heaven speaking to me. Child, this is the way to walk in. This is the door I'm going to open for you. This is what I want you to leave behind. Whatever it may be, it's God we need to hear. Because, listen, at the end of the day, people will disappear. He's always steadfast. He always says the same. His character is unchangeable in his character. You can't get any more secure than having someone that is unchangeable in their character and in their nature. And he says to Moses, come up here, I have something for you. And he came up. And do you remember? This is where it says, Moses, I have a place for you beside me. And Moses goes up the mountain. You know, listen, it's a commitment to climb up a mountain, isn't it? This wasn't like I read that. Yeah, Moses went up the mountain. I think he just done that and was up the top of the mountain. He had to climb. He had to put in effort. There was an energy and a commitment to get there. There's one step in front of the other that has to be taken. And he gets there and God puts him in because he says, God, I want to see you. I want to see your glory. I want to see your majesty. I want to see who you are. And he says, Moses, come up beside me. There's a place beside me for you. There's a place beside us for God. There's a place for us beside God. There's a place that he loves to hear us speak to him. And he goes up and Moses, he puts him in between the cleft and the rock. He puts him in between the rock and the hard place. Have you ever been there? Are you there? I'm between the rock and the hard place. God puts him in between the rock and the hard place. The rock and the cleft, and he gets in. And God goes by him. And as he's going by me, the Lord is declaring his name. I'm the Lord, Yahweh, the one who made the heavens and the earth. I'm the Lord, gracious and slow to anger, abounding in love, forgiving wickedness and sin from generation to generation to generation. And when he goes by him, that was only the back of him, the Bible says he's seen. He's seen a glimpse of God. I'm the Lord, he's seen the majesty of who God is, the creator. And he says, and I'm slow to anger and abounding in love and forgiving wickedness and sin for generation to generation to generation. And he's seen all this. You know what it says? When Moses seen all this, he came out and he fell to the ground and worshipped him. That any time you come into the presence of God, there's something in us as humans that it's not like we just want to, when we see anything of his majesty, that we just want to bow down and we want to worship him and who he is. And God's invitation is, I have a place for you beside me. I have something for you to see. I have something for you to know. I have something for you to achieve. There's a repurposing and there's a revamping and a refreshing that I need to give into your life. But I need you to come away from the crowd and get into the cloud. And I'm praying, God, gift us hunger. Gift us, Lord, that you would put something deep within us that would go, nothing else can satisfy like your presence. It says this, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out wherever the cloud settled. In Numbers chapter 9, whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or even a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out at the Lord's command. The Lord's command, they would set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with his commands through Moses. It says that every time that God would come and he'd rest in the cloud. And when the cloud then would leave, whether it's a day or whether it's a night or a week or a year, whenever that settled, the people settled. But whenever it lifted and moved to another place, the people wrapped up everything. And he says, we're going after God. And there's times in our life when there's a season where we have the presence of God on that season. But there's also a season where God says, I'm moving. And I want you to come with me. And there's so many times that people can be left and camped in an old place where God revealed himself and made himself known and showed his presence and his glory. And that we're sitting and it was a great and wonderful place. If all my testimony, your testimony, what is, what used to be, we're in trouble. We've missed something when all of our stories is about, do you remember yesterday? Do you remember last year? Do you remember back in the good old days? And they were good old days, weren't they? I remember sitting in rooms when I first came Christian. People, we were sitting in Fight Man. People would just get out of prison in Mount Joy and hear about what God has done in all of our lives. And they come up to the flats and they'd be sitting in the meeting and they'd get saved. They get filled with the Holy Spirit and they start speaking in tongues and they go down to the flats and they tell their family and their family. And it was great times in church when everybody just was so excited about being with Jesus in the presence of Jesus with one another. That was amazing. But remember, God done that miracle. Remember, God had that provision. But of all my memories, of all my talk about God, it's just past memories. There's something missing, Ollie. Because he's the God of yesterday, we're right. But he's also the God of today. He's the God that creates new stories, new movements. And he's the God of tomorrow as well, where he wants to do more and more and more and more. And God says, it says in the Bible that when the cloud lifted, the crowd went with it. And we have to know that. Just check ourselves. If all my stuff is about yesterday, I'm missing out on what God wants to have me for today. There's revelation and authority in the cloud. That we get stuff in the cloud that we can't get with the crowd. We can't get it. Every time, read the scriptures, every time you see someone going into the presence of God, that they get something. They get either a mandate, they get a revelation of God's glory or majesty that changes everything around them. Jesus, in chapter 9 of Luke, calls the disciples to him. And he says to them, he gave them his authority. And he says, I want you to go out. I want you to preach the gospel. Sorry, I want you to preach the kingdom, heal the sick, and cast out the devil. And they go out and they do this. They heal the sick and they preach the gospel of the kingdom. And they seen the kingdom at work. And they came back. Many things that Jesus gave them to do. Three things. Heal the sick, preach the kingdom, and deal with the devil. And he came back and he done 2-hour tree. I'll show you now in a minute. He sent them out to do three things and he done 2-hour tree. Now meatloaf might say 2-hour tree ain't bad. But if Jesus gives you three things to do, you do the three things. Because there's a purpose in what he tells us to do. He gave them in the tabernacle in the Old Testament where he'd come down from the mountain and then he was now in the midst of the people. In the tent, in the midst of all the people would be camping all around the tabernacle and God's presence would come in the tent of meetings, the place where Moses went to meet God. And he gave them details of what color that tabernacle should be, what type of loops the poles should go through, what color the walls should be. He gives them all these details that this is the way he wanted his house. God is into interior designing. And I want to tell you, why would God be so picky? Look, Lord, look, there's a blue cloak. Surely that, if God says it's yellow, it should be yellow. And if he says you do three things, you do the three things because that's when you get the results of what he wants to do. And so anyway, they come back and they didn't heal the sick. They healed the sick, sorry. They preached the kingdom, but they didn't deal with the devil. And sometimes we don't even want to give the devil any glory or any credit. But the enemy has to be dealt with. We sometimes just fight against flesh and blood. We're overlooking the fact that there's an enemy. Jesus says about the devil, Satan, Lucifer, the enemy of your soul. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And sometimes things are being stolen and killed off and destroyed all around us. And we blame flesh and blood when God wants us to know, I want to show you who's behind some of this. And if he says deal with the enemy, we have to deal with the enemy. So they come back to Jesus. And then in chapter 10, he sends the 70 out. So 12 went, then 70 went out. And they went out and they healed the sick and preached the kingdom of God. And they cast out the devil. They came back rejoicing. Jesus was said when they were coming back that he says to them, they were rejoicing that even devils were submitting to them. The others didn't come back rejoicing. The others went out they couldn't deal or didn't deal with the devil, whatever which one it was. But the others came back and said, and Jesus says, don't rejoice that demons submit to you in my name. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Do you remember that? Jesus says, so in the second batch, they dealt with the devil. Jesus says, when you were out there, I seen Satan fall like lightning. Now, I used to think that was out of when the devil got kicked out of heaven. But there's no context for it, about devil being kicked out of heaven. So I can take it, Jesus was saying, when you went out there healing the sick, preaching the kingdom, and casting out devils, I seen strongholds coming down over villages and over homes and over families and over people's lives. And he says, now don't rejoice in that, but rejoice that heavens know your name. Now I used to think that was that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but there's no context for the Lamb's Book of Life there. But he was saying, thank God, rejoice that they know your name because I sent you out with my authority. Because the people, the seven sons of Sceva in Acts, they didn't go out in Jesus' name. And they tried to deal with the devil and they got battered. Because he says, I know Paul, I know Jesus, but who in the world are you? Their names weren't written with the authority of God. So what happened between them coming back rejoicing that enemies have, and the Satan's strongholds fell like lightning, and what happened between the others that didn't cast out the devils? It's found in chapter 9 there. Make sure it's chapter 9, Nolly. Yeah, that'll do. Jesus says to them in the midst of them two situations, sent out the 12, preach the kingdom, heal the sick, deal with the devil. Sent out the 70, preach the kingdom, heal the sick, deal with the devil. Between them, Jesus says to James, John, and Peter, come on up the mountain with me. And they go up this mount, and they were there for a while. And it says, and this cloud came. And they looked, they seen Jesus had been transformed into brilliance. His face shone. He was in his majesty and his glory. And you look over and there was Elijah and Moses. They were two other cloud walkers. Jesus brings them up and the cloud comes. And the Father speaks, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. In between the two where they couldn't deal with the enemy and they deal with the enemy, there's an experience of a cloud in the middle of it. And Moses, who knew about the cloud, and Elijah, who knew about a cloud. Remember Elijah, he says after saying there was going to be a famine in the land, he says to his servant after he dealt with the enemy on Mount Carmel. Do you remember them stories when the fire came down? And then he says to Ahab, he says, start moving, he says, because the rain is starting, it's going to come. And he go up to the mountain, and he's Elijah, the prophet's servant, he says, what's the story with the rain? There's not even a cloud in the sky. And he says, go out and look. And he goes out, nothing, no cloud. Do you ever feel like that time you hear people speak about revival coming to Ireland or God being going to pour out his spirit? And you keep looking out, there's no clouds. And Elijah says to his servant, he says, the cloud is coming, believe me. The cloud is coming, believe me. It says he bent down and he put his head between his legs and pulled his cloak over his own head. Do you know what Elijah was doing? He was getting along with God. He was leaving the crowd and getting on his own, pulled the cloak over him. Just me and God, locked in with God. Lord, what are you saying about this situation? Elijah, there's no cloud. And he says, go back and look. God told me. Goes back into that place. God, I can't see anything, but I'm believing by faith. I'm believing that we're going to see what you said we're going to see. Seven times. Imagine coming back six times. Look, there's nothing there. Get back out. Get back up to the top of the mountain. Get back and keep looking out for the things of God. Your salvation is coming. Your salvation is nigh. There's a perseverance. Get back out. Wherever we're waiting on of God. Lord, where's the cloud? Where's your presence? Where's your outpouring? And then he comes back and you know what he says to Elijah? I see the cloud in the distance. About the soil, it's a cloud the size of a man's fists. And he looks, and Elijah gets up, and he tucks in his robe, and he starts running. He even overtook chariots and horses. And there's Elijah up on the mountain when the three boys are there, James, Peter, and John. And Peter says a great thing. He says, Jesus, come on, we just stay here, and I'll build a little house for you, a little house for Elijah, and a little house for Moses. We'd all sit here in our own little tabernacle. I used to be always critical of Peter when I read that. Do you know what was waiting down the top bottom of the mountain? A boy that was demon-possessed with his father. And that's how we know they didn't deal with the devil, because when Jesus came down, he says, Jesus, will you cast out this demon? Because I begged your disciples and they didn't. Jesus looks, you can imagine the look Jesus gets him. I told you to deal with this. I'll show you again how to deal with the devil. And I used to be critical of Peter. I used to be like a typical of lots of the church. Won't we just stay in the church? Won't we just stay in God's presence and let the people in the community are dealing with all types of stuff. But the true majesty of being in the cloud is that we take the presence and the glory and the authority of God from the cloud and go into the community with his power, with his light, with his passion, and we help the community know and experience the love and the power of God. And Peter says, we're going to stay here. Mom, we stay in the presence here. Come on, we stay here. Listen, the reality is that we do need to be in the presence. And we need to leave the presence. We're carrying the presence into every place where we would find ourselves so that we can actually shine on the spot. We can actually go, the God that I met in the cloud is the God that will manifest himself in the crowd. But if we don't meet him in the cloud, we can sing all, dance all we want. We're not going to see the manifestation of him in the crowd. You know what I'm saying? He's all heavenly minded, no earthly good. He has his head in the clouds, is in other words. If you want to be of any good earthly, you need to have your head in the clouds. You need to be a cloud walker. You need to be a cloud dweller to really be of any good to people on earth. Because what else have we got to offer them other than the presence of God? The reality of who God is. He says, come on, we stay here. When we rest in the presence here of this majestic experience of God the Father speaking in a cloud, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And I believe God is calling us to be a church of his presence. To be a church that will seek his face and say, Lord, it's you that we're after. It's you that we want. If I want to hear anyone say anything to me, it's Father God I want to hear saying, no, this is the way. If I want to hear anyone say anything, it's Father God I want to hear speak to me and say, I love you, son. If anything I want to hear, God, I love being with a crowd. Or I'm hearing them saying more and more, come on, I draw you up to the cloud. Because I want to speak specifically to you. I want to show you things. I want you to hear things. I want you to experience things that other people will look at, like the Israelites were looking. And we're like, wow, isn't Moses? Moses is having a great time. But the beauty of Jesus is Jesus invites everyone to the party. He invites everyone in. That no one is left straggling on the outside. But no, you don't know my failure. It calls failures into the near. You don't know how far away from God. You've never been that far away from God. Psalm 139 says that even if Psalm 139 is it, that even if I go to the furthest end of the earth, you're there. He's the everywhere God. And he's calling us. Come on, I want to show you something. And when we get what he wants to show us, we'll have something to say to this world. We'll have something to say to a lonely person or a broken person or someone who doesn't know where to go in life. Hang on, I will seek God for you. He wants us to be cloud people. Your man's on cloud nine. Did you ever hear that? He's on cloud nine. That always means they're bonkers. Listen, if hearing God is bonkers, be bonkers. Because to be of any earthly good, we have to be heavenly minded. We have to get the mind of Christ. And then we speak. So Lord, I pray today that you would gift us with hunger. Jesus says, just go into the room and close the door and speak to your Father. How do I get into this cloud? Just draw near to him. Just this week, say to him, Father, here I am. I want to seek you. I want to know your ways. I don't want to just know your works, Lord. They're beautiful and that your handiwork of God are amazing. But Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you. We got called into this deal in the first place, to know God. John 17:3, this is eternal life, that you may know God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. That you may know God. You may know God intimately. You may know God's voice. You may experience him sitting beside you, his presence. You may know him as sitting down with somebody, like someone sitting down having dinner together. We didn't get called into this to hang around religious trappings. We got called into this to know God. And I pray today in the name of Jesus that we would hear him calling us into that place of intimacy afresh and anew, where we would know revelation. We would know the tug of our hearts to leave the crowd, to go to the cloud. We would hear the tug of our hearts where he says, I've moved on from that. Come on with me. Come on. That's why it's gone dry. That's why it's a memory. I want your walk with me to be a living experience. Come on, move on. Keg up the 10 pegs and start to move. I've a new venture, I've a new expression to show through you, to show to you. Lord, I can't seem to shift some things. Like the disciples, they needed a cloud experience. They needed his presence. They needed his voice. And I pray that for us, Lord, what's not shifting in our prayer time, what's not shifting that we're praying about, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would experience you afresh this week as we draw near to you, Lord. That we would know what to pray and how to pray, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that you would give us grace to be able to linger and dwell in your presence longer than any other time in our walk with you. I pray, Lord, that we would hear your voice. We would hear you, feel the tugging of you on our hearts. Come on with me. Come on away with me. I pray, Lord, that the depths of our worship from this day on would be different than the way we came in this morning. I pray, Lord God, that we would be recharged and renewed and refreshed and revamped, ready, Father, ready for orders from the King. Could we stand, please, and we finish? Remember the two sisters, Mary and Martha. One of them chose to keep herself busy and the other chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus says she chose the better place. Maybe we just need to down tools and sit at his feet. Stop running and sitting. So Lord, I ask for you today to reveal yourself to us in such ways that, Lord, we would skip down the mountain, Lord. That, Lord God, that we would see your majesty and your glory and your splendor. That the only thing, Lord, that would fall over our mouths is worship and adoration. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as you reveal yourself to us, we would be like Peter. Come on, we stay here, Lord. I wish I could stay in this moment forever, Lord. Lord, you know what it says when Peter said that? It says in brackets, he didn't know what he was talking about. But what a desire. Well, Lord, I pray that out of that place of your presence, that, Lord, that you would make us a blessing to the community and everyone around us. Out of that place, oh God, out of that understanding and knowing, out of that security, Lord, out of that, Lord, place where we are fed and sustained, oh God, to do the work of God in our city, in our town, in our family, Lord, in our nation. I pray this in Jesus' name. People says, amen.